Manufacturing is learning to spread out. The age of distributed valorization and how biology is rewriting manufacturing. For more than a century, modern manufacturing has followed a simple and deeply ingrained logic. Extract materials from many places, ship them to a few very large places, transform them using concentrated energy and infrastructure, distribute finished products back outward across the world. This architecture built extraordinary efficiency. It also built extraordinary fragility. It works remarkably well for materials that are geologically stable and chemically stubborn. Stone, metal, petroleum-derived polymers. These materials tolerate long transport distances, extreme heat, and centralized processing because their structure is largely indifferent to ecology. Biological materials are different. They are not stubborn, they are responsive. They are structured to participate in cycles rather than resist them. As material science moves from fossil-based feedstocks toward living carbon systems, cellulose, lignin, proteins, algae, microbial polymers, we are beginning to encounter a mismatch between industrial architecture and biological logic. And that mismatch is forcing a new concept into view: distributed valorization. The word valorization is often used in academic or policy settings, but it deserves clearer and broader use in manufacturing. Valorization simply means increasing the usefulness, performance, or economic value of a material through intentional transformation. Processing changes form. Manufacturing makes products. Valorization increases potential. Distributed valorization describes a system in which renewable materials are progressively upgraded across interconnected regional networks rather than being transformed once inside centralized mega facilities. To understand why this shift matters, it helps to look at a system every human already understands: digestion. No one eats food and sends it to a single organ that performs all transformation. The human body upgrades nutrients through a staged, distributed process. Mechanical breakdown begins in the mouth, chemical digestion continues in the stomach, enzymatic refinement and nutrient absorption occur primarily in the small intestine. Microbial fermentation and recovery of residual energy happen in the large intestine. Each stage performs a specific upgrade. Each stage prepares material for the next. Energy efficiency emerges from sequence rather than scale. If the body attempted to perform all nutrient processing in one location, the system would require enormous energy spikes, lose precision, and generate toxic accumulation. Distributed transformation is not an alternative strategy in biology. It is the only strategy that works. Modern manufacturing often operates in exactly the opposite way. The emerging field of enzyme engineering is revealing another path, one that mirrors biological transformation systems rather than industrial ones. Enzymes are highly selective catalysts that operate under relatively mild temperatures and pressures. Unlike conventional chemical processing, which often relies on brute force energy input, enzymes guide molecules through specific pathways. They do not simply break materials apart. They reorganize them with precision and efficiency. Advances in synthetic biology and protein engineering are making enzymes increasingly programmable. It is worth noting that the enzyme discovery and refinement are not new intrusions into biology. Humans have partnered with enzymatic processes for thousands of years through fermentation, agriculture, and selective breeding. What is changing today is not the presence of biological catalysts, but our ability to understand and guide them with greater precision and energy efficiency. Scientists can now design catalysts that target specific molecular bonds inside complex biological feedstocks, such as agricultural residues, algae, food waste, or forestry byproducts. This expanding ability to understand and design biological catalysts is one of the primary reasons distributed valorization is becoming both technically and economically interesting. Most people are already familiar with one visible expression of this shift: simple DNA testing. Whether used to trace ancestry, identify genetic health markers, or support forensic investigations, reflects a broader revolution in how scientists read and interpret biological code. As the cost of sequencing DNA has fallen and computational modeling has accelerated, researchers have gained unprecedented ability to understand how genetic instructions translate into protein structures, including enzymes. This literacy in biological programming has made it possible to not only identify enzymes that already exist in nature, but increasingly to modify or design enzymes that perform highly specific chemical tasks. Historically, industrial enzyme use has focused primarily on breaking natural materials apart. Enzymes have been used to digest starch into sugars, break down cellulose into fermentable carbohydrates, or degrade organic residues during waste treatment. These applications remain essential, but they represent only one side of enzymatic potential. When complex biological materials are completely broken down, many of the intricate carbon structures created through photosynthesis are permanently lost. Sunlight, water, and time assemble these molecular architectures with extraordinary efficiency. Reconstructing them through synthetic chemistry often requires significant energy input and can rarely reproduce their original structural elegance. Emerging research is expanding enzymatic chemistry beyond decomposition towards selective modification and upgrading of natural polymers and materials. Instead of dismantling biological materials entirely, enzymes can now be used to graft new functional groups onto existing structures, tune surface properties, strengthen fiber networks, or introduce reactivity that allows materials to bond, cure, or assemble under controlled conditions. In this way, enzymes are beginning to function less like demolition tools and more like biological design instruments. While enzyme engineering represents one of the most powerful enablers of distributed valorization, the principle itself extends beyond enzymatic chemistry. Distributed valorization describes an architectural shift in how materials are progressively upgraded across networks, whether through biological, mechanical, thermal, or hybrid transformation processes that preserve and enhance material potential over time. At the same time, advances in agricultural genetics are opening a parallel frontier. Crops are increasingly being developed to improve drought tolerance, pest resistance, and nutritional performance. Yet, these same plants also produce enormous volumes of structural biomass. Stalks, husks, leaves, and processing residues that, historically, have been treated as a secondary or disposable output. A growing body of research is beginning to approach plant development differently. Rather than optimizing crops solely for food yield, scientists and material engineers are exploring how plant chemistry, fiber architecture, and polymer composition can be intentionally shaped to support downstream material transformation. This emerging approach can be described as co-designing biomass. Co-designing biomass treats plants not simply as food sources, but as integrated biological manufacturing platforms. Crops can be cultivated to deliver nutritional value for human consumption while simultaneously producing residual material streams optimized for fiber reinforcement, polymer extraction, enzymatic upgrading, or functional material synthesis. Another often overlooked factor influencing enzymatic material innovation is the nature of today's dominant cellulose supply. Much of the world's industrial cellulose is produced through kraft pulping, a process optimized for fiber strength and large-scale paper production. While extraordinarily effective for those purposes, kraft processing removes or alters many of the native polysaccharide structures and surface chemistries that make plant biomass highly responsive to selective enzymatic modification. As a result, many current cellulose streams arrive already simplified and chemically conditioned, limiting opportunities for downstream biological upgrading. This reality helps explain why enzyme-driven material innovation has advanced more rapidly in laboratory and pilot environments than across mainstream material supply chains. It also reinforces the importance of preserving native biomass complexity earlier in the value chain, a central principle behind co-designing biomass and distributed valorization. In this model, food systems and material systems are no longer separate supply chains. They become coordinated phases of a shared biological value cycle. As enzyme engineering expands the ways biological materials can be upgraded, and agricultural science expands how those materials are grown, distributed valorization becomes not just possible, but structurally inevitable. This capability changes not only how materials are processed, but where value can be created. In traditional industrial models, raw biomass is often treated as low-value bulk material. It is harvested, transported long distances, then subjected to centralized refinement designed to extract a single primary product stream. Distributed valorization treats biomass differently. Instead of transporting raw material long distances before adding value, communities can perform early-stage stabilization and fractionation locally. Fibers can be liberated. Sugars can be captured. Protein fractions can be preserved. Lignin streams can be separated and conditioned for downstream use. These early transformations dramatically increase both material stability and economic value while reducing transport inefficiencies. From there, intermediate material streams can move into regional processing hubs where engineered enzymes perform more specialized conversions. Sugars may become fermentation feedstocks for biodegradable polymers or specialty chemicals. Cellulosic fractions may be refined into nanostructured reinforcement for enhancing paper or molded fiber or composite packaging. Lignin derivatives may be converted into adhesives, resins, or carbon-rich structural components. Final product fabrication, packaging, textiles, molded fiber goods, coatings, or construction materials, can then occur in distributed manufacturing nodes operating closer to end-use markets. In this model, materials still travel, but they travel as stabilized value states rather than raw extracted mass. Biological systems often preserve multiple transformation possibilities simultaneously, allowing environmental conditions to clarify the most efficient pathway before irreversible change occurs. Centralized industrial systems, by contrast, frequently commit materials to single transformation routes early in the supply chain, increasing efficiency under stable conditions, but reducing adaptability when variables shift. The difference is profound. Centralized industrial systems move bulk material and concentrate transformation authority. Distributed valorization moves intelligence through networks and allows transformation to occur progressively across ecological and economic layers. I'm going to say that again. Centralized industrial systems move bulk material and concentrate transformation authority. Distributed valorization moves intelligence through networks and allows transformation to occur progressively across ecological and economic layers. The architecture begins to resemble watershed hydrology, neural networks, and mycelial ecosystems more than assembly lines. The transition toward distributed valorization may sound futuristic, yet its foundations already surround us. It is not fully realized, but it is emerging through isolated technologies, regional pilot systems, and everyday biological processes that collectively reveal a new manufacturing architecture beginning to take shape. Engineered enzymes are present in everyday systems that most people interact with daily. Modern laundry detergents rely on specialized enzymes that selectively break down protein, starch, and lipid residues at temperatures far lower than traditional chemical cleaning required. These catalysts reduce energy consumption while improving performance, performing precise molecular transformations inside millions of individual households rather than inside centralized industrial reactors. Food systems have relied on enzymatic upgrading for thousands of years through fermentation. Bread, cheese, yogurt, beer, wine, and countless regional foods are produced through staged biological transformations in which microbes and enzymes progressively increase nutritional availability, flavor complexity, and preservation stability. These processes represent distributed biochemical manufacturing operating across kitchens, farms, and regional production ecosystems rather than single centralized facilities. Agricultural biotechnology is extending this distributed upgrading even further. Crops are now being developed that tolerate drought, resist pests, and optimize nutrient density. These advances do not simply increase yield. They alter the chemical architecture of biomass itself, creating feedstocks better suited for downstream conversion into materials, chemicals, and energy. Equally important is the growing recognition that the portions of biomass not consumed as food represent an enormous and largely underutilized resource. Stalks, husks, peels, processing residues, and algae blooms contain structured polymers, proteins, and carbohydrates that can be selectively upgraded through engineered enzymatic pathways. What was historically treated as agricultural waste is increasingly being reframed as a distributed portfolio of renewable feedstocks. In this emerging model, food production and material production begin to intertwine. Crops can be optimized not only for human nutrition, but also for the performance characteristics of their residual biomass streams. Agricultural regions become not only food suppliers, but also early-stage material science partners, participating in the staged upgrading of renewable carbon into packaging, textiles, coatings, adhesives, and construction materials. Distributed valorization does not introduce biology into manufacturing. It recognizes that biology has always been performing distributed manufacturing quietly beneath the surface of daily life. distributed valorization may sound like an industrial innovation, but it is better understood as a return to pattern literacy. Living systems have always increased value through staged transformation, cooperative exchange, and adaptive networks that balance local specialization with global connection. Industrial manufacturing briefly replaced that pattern with centralized efficiency. It accelerated production, but it also separated materials from the ecosystems that taught them how to cycle. The emerging shift toward biological upgrading does not require us to invent a new model. It requires us to notice that one has always surrounded us, and how food becomes energy, how ecosystems renew themselves, and how seasons reorganize entire landscapes without centralized authority. Once seen, the pattern is difficult to unsee. Beneath this shift toward distributed valorization lies a deeper thermodynamic pattern that extends far beyond materials and supply chains. For readers interested in exploring that underlying principle, the following reflection offers a closer look. Decision deferral as efficiency strategy. One of the least visible advantages of biological systems is their ability to preserve optionality, to embrace ambiguity, if you will. Living systems often maintain multiple potential transformation pathways simultaneously, allowing environmental conditions to clarify the most efficient direction before irreversible decisions are made. Stem cells retain pluripotency. Plants adjust growth patterns based on light and water gradients. Fungal networks reroute nutrients dynamically in response to ecosystem demand. Biodiversity itself functions as a reservoir of future adaptability. This pattern reflects a thermodynamic principle. Premature commitment destroys optionality. Destroyed optionality increases energy costs later. When complex structures are fixed too early, systems lose the ability to adapt without reconstruction. Reconstruction requires energy. Energy expenditure increases entropy. Entropy accumulation reduces resilience and, eventually, backs up like a clogged drain. Biology minimizes irreversible decisions early. Industrial systems often maximize them. Centralized manufacturing commits materials to specific transformation pathways near the beginning of the supply chain. Feedstocks are refined into narrowly defined intermediates. Processing routes are optimized for forecasted stability. Scale rewards decisiveness. Under stable conditions, this works. Under variability, ecological, economic, or geopolitical, the energy cost of adaptation rises dramatically. Distributed valorization begins to mirror biological optionality by preserving functional flexibility across stages of transformation. Materials are upgraded progressively rather than irreversibly fixed at a single site. Decision-making is distributed. Pathways remain adaptable longer. This principle extends beyond supply chains. Fossil-derived materials represent biological complexity that was chemically fixed millions of years ago. Living carbon systems, by contrast, retain structural and chemical flexibility during growth and transformation. The difference is not merely environmental, it's thermodynamic. Optionality is stored coherence. Systems that preserve coherence longer require less energy to adapt. Systems that fix structure prematurely must spend energy reconstructing what was lost. Anyone who has tried to cook a steak too early in the preparation process understands this intuitively. Once proteins are fully denatured, the pathways for transformation narrow permanently. The material may still change, but its range of possible outcomes has collapsed. Energy can push it forward, but it cannot restore the flexibility that existed before commitment. Biological systems operate with the opposite instinct. They maintain flexibility for as long as possible. They sense, adjust, and refine before locking structure into place. This patience is not inefficiency, it's adaptive intelligence. Distributed valorization reflects the same pattern at the scale of materials and manufacturing. By allowing renewable materials to move through staged transformation networks, systems preserve optionality longer. They allow environmental, economic, and technological conditions to clarify the most efficient pathways before irreversible decisions are made. This approach does not demand that industry abandon efficiency. It invites industry to redefine it. Efficiency in living systems is rarely about speed alone. It's about timing. It's about sensing when to commit and when to remain open. It is about allowing transformation to unfold in relationship with changing conditions rather than forcing certainty prematurely. Most of us already live inside systems built on layered transformation. Digestion, ecosystems, seasonal agriculture, even learning itself. We recognize, at some intuitive level, that flexibility preserved early makes adaptation easier later. Distributed valorization simply extends that familiar biological wisdom into how civilization transforms materials. It does not ask us to invent a new logic. It asks us to trust one we have been living inside all along. And if distributed valorization feels unfamiliar at first, it may be because modern industry briefly taught us how to forget how transformation naturally works. Biology never did.